chapter 2. This morning we looked at verse 6. Tonight we want to look at verse 6 and verse 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, that is, the faith that they've been taught, with thanksgiving. Again, verse 6 is a pivotal verse, bridging the gap between the doctrinal and the application of the doctrinal. And it introduces a call to live a life that's all about Christ. And this life flows from a deep personal conviction concerning who Christ is, and also from the reality of a personal saving experience of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 is followed by a further description of that life there in verse 7. So I want to speak tonight on a stable and abundant life, taking our thoughts mostly from verse 7. And first of all, consider the circumstances of the Colossians. God's people in Colossae were again living in the face of deception and perversions. These deceptions and perversions minimized Jesus Christ. They endangered the church of Colossae, and they were a threat to the life that these believers were to live. In Colossians 2 and verse 8, he says, beware. That is a call to be on guard. To beware means to be alert, be on the lookout, be careful. Beware. The next word is lest. With the word is meant to prevent or avoid something. Beware lest any man, it could be anybody, lest any man spoil, that is, corrupt you spiritually, strip you spiritually. Enemy armies would go in and strip a land, spoil a land. Beware lest any man strip or rob or ruin you spiritually. And that was the danger to be avoided, that we be not spoiled spiritually, that we be not ruined spiritually. Lest any man spoil you through or by means of, and then he speaks of the means, philosophy. Philosophy is just simply the thinking of man. It's not always called philosophy, but simply the thinking or the reasoning of man. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And vain, that which is vain has no real purpose. It's unproductive. Vain deceit after the rudiments, that is, in accord with the rudiments. The rudiments are simply the basic principles of the world. These philosophies, these deceits, are after or in accord with the basic principles of the world. What is the basic principle of the world? It's humanism. It's humanism. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And then he adds, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. In other words, these philosophies are contrary to Jesus Christ. The rudiments of the world are contrary to Jesus Christ. So from this warning in verse 8, we see that it was a time of differing concepts were vying for their hearts, their minds, their affections, their allegiance, all aimed at pulling them away from Jesus Christ. It's no different today. And in chapter 1, verse 23, Paul encouraged them to continue in the faith and be not moved away. Because if you're moved away from Christ, you've been ruined. You've been spoiled spiritually. You've been robbed. You've been stripped spiritually. So the danger that they were in was that they could be diverted. They could be swept away by those who offer something other than Jesus Christ. The world always offers something other than Jesus Christ. And there's always a danger that we be moved away from Christ, that we be moved away from the teaching of Jesus Christ. So there was the danger that they would lose interest in Jesus Christ, that they would become detached from Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about losing salvation. That's not possible. We're talking about being detached from the teaching or the person of Jesus Christ, losing interest, becoming more interested in human thinking and human reasoning. So they were in the same danger that is present today. There was the danger of being taken in with the thinking of the times, with the ways of the times, with the idols of the times, with the ambitions of the times. All of these things are aimed at diverting us from Christ, moving us away from this life that we're to live in Jesus Christ. They were in danger of being taken in with the opinions of the times, the aims of the times, the influences of the times, the fantasies of the times. These things were all around them, and it presented a danger. And we, like they, live in the midst of the same things: paganism, secularism, heathen talk, heathen ways, heathen pursuits, heathen thinking, heathen worship, and on we could go. And we, like they, must be on guard. Beware. Beware of these things. We must be on guard against the deceptions. Must be on guard against the perversions that seek to shackle us, seek to disable us spiritually. And we, like they, are bombarded with that which is opposed and that which is hostile to Jesus Christ, that which is unlike Christ, that which seeks to reverse everything that Christ does. And this presents a danger. It presents a constant danger. It presents a constant threat. We need to always beware, always be alert against those things that would shackle us and keep us from living this life that Paul is calling them to live. Because we all know we live in a world that is contrary and destructive to the spiritual life. Everything about this world is contrary to that life and is destructive to that life. We live in a world that is overrun with spiritual darkness and the policies of the world, the policies of man, the philosophies of man, the reasonings of man, the manners of man, the fashion of man, the entertainment of man, the pursuits of man or the world and society and culture, all directed by Satan in an attempt to lure and to divert and to hold down and shackle the child of God, so that they cannot live this life that we are, that every one of us that are saved are called to live. So the Colossians were in danger. They lived under these constant threats. And all around us today is that which will spiritually hinder us. Everywhere. Everywhere you turn. There are things, there are people that, if allowed, will spiritually hinder you. Which will spiritually entangle you. Which will weary you spiritually. And eventually deplete you spiritually. And that's why he said, beware lest any man spoil you, ruin you, rob you, strip you, deplete you spiritually. These were the circumstances that they were living in. So we have to, as we read verse 6 and 7, we have to consider the circumstances they were in. And again, we're in the same circumstances to a greater degree. So you and I, just like the Colossians, Paul is telling them here in verse 6 and 7 that they don't have to be a victim of the danger and the threats that are all around them. And you and I, as God's children, we don't have to stumble through life. We don't have to live a life filled with obscurity. We don't have to live a life filled with spiritual confusion. We don't have to live a life of instability or insecurity or destitution spiritually. We do not have to live a life of spiritual deficiency. And we don't have to live a life of gloom, though there's gloom all around us. We don't have to live a life of gloom. We don't have to live a life of misery and distress. Where we're called here, we can walk in Him. Verse 6. That's the life that we're called to live. Walk in Him. And oh, what a life is ours. And it's because of Him. It's all because of Him. Now again, the world has a very powerful and draining effect upon spirituality. You subject yourself to the world, you subject yourself to the ideas of the world and let your brain be bombarded with that, that has a powerful draining effect on spirituality. But because of Him, we do not have to be a victim of the dangers that's all around us. So let's look at this life that is ours to live. It's referred to in verse 6 as we preach this morning, walk ye in Him. And that's the life we're to live. Regardless of the world, regardless of the times in which we live, this is our responsibility. As saved individuals, it is our responsibility to walk in Him. Not only is it our responsibility, we can. We can walk in Him. In Him. Those are wonderful words. In Him. Walk in Him. Live in Him. In Him who is greater than all the powers of the world. We can live in Him. In Him who's greater than all the emptiness that's around us. And all the darkness that's around us, we can live in Him. We don't have to live in emptiness. We don't have to live in darkness. We can live in Him, though we might be surrounded with emptiness and darkness. In Him is who is greater than the bondage of the world. In Him who is greater than the wickedness and the corruption of the world. In Him who's greater than the ignorance of the world. The world is ignorant. The world is ignorant of God. The world is ignorant of Christ. The world is ignorant of life. But we don't have to live there. We can live in Him. He's greater than all the dilemmas, all the discouragement. The world is a discouraging place. People are discouraging. But in Him, He's greater than all of that. We don't have to give in to the discouragement. We can live in Him. In Him, there's power. In Him, there's light. In Him, there's strength. In Him, there's healing. There's rest. There's relief. There's peace. In Him, there's fulfillment. There's victory. There's joy. And we can walk in Him. Now from verse 5, we see that the Colossians were living this life. Because in verse 5, he comments about the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So what he's doing in verse 6 is he is encouraging them, or he's exhorting them to continue on. To continue on. And where is it that we find steadfastness? It's in Him. It's walking in Him. No one will be steadfast if they're not walking in Him. If we're not walking in Him, it's just a matter of time before you become a victim to the lies and the perversions that are all around you. The devil cannot reach us in Him. You want to talk about a hedge? That's the best hedge there is, in Him. And the devil can't reach you there, in Him. It's when we walk outside of Him that now we've invited trouble. We've divided disaster into our lives. So in verse 7, verse 6, he calls upon him, walk ye in Him. Continue to do so. And then in verse 7, he elaborates on what this walk looks like. What it looks like. It looks like Christ. Walk in Him. It looks like Christ. It's Christ's likeness. But what we read in verse 7 is a description of the in Him life. It's also the foundation, and it is also the result of walking in Him. So in verse 7, we find four verbs that we are particularly interested in tonight. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And then follows verse 7. And what verse 7 pictures is a life of stability. Walking in Him is stability. But it also pictures a life of growth. Walking in Him, you will grow. You will grow spiritually in Him. So life in Him is stability. It is growth. And the truth is, we are not spiritually stable if we are not walking in Him. And considering all the dangers that are around us, considering all the threats that are around us, we'd better be stable. Because if we're not, we're going to be moved away. We're going to be moved away. We're going to fall victim. We're going to fall prey to the world. So what is the solution to spiritual instability? Walk in Him. What is the solution to spiritual mediocrity? Walk in Him, or live life in Him. But four verbs here in verse 7 describing this life. Rooted. Skip a few words. In Him. Rooted in Him. That is passive voice, which simply means it is something done to us. It is something done to us. So the initial rooting is done by God. And that is a miracle. That is a miracle. So it's passive voice. It's something done to us. But it's also perfect tense, which simply means it is past, but it is continued action. It is continued action. In other words, the initial rooting has a continual effect. The truth is, we were rooted in Christ when we received Him. We were rooted. And that rooting has a continuous effect. So it pictures the initial rooting with the result that we continue to be rooted. That is, our roots grow, latch on to Jesus Christ. To be rooted in Him, what does that mean? Well, it means to be embedded, to be fixed, to be attached to Jesus Christ. That took place in salvation, but it's to continue. It is to progress. It is to be connected and linked to Jesus Christ. Again, rooted in Him. The analogy, of course, is of a tree or plant with deep roots in very rich soil. The soil would be Christ. We are rooted in Him. Now, in most plants and trees, the root system is a below-ground structure. And it serves primarily to anchor the plant or the tree to the soil, to receive nourishment from the soil. We are rooted in Him. Rooted in Him. And we will not walk in Him unless we are rooted in Him. And the more we continue to be rooted in Him, the more we continue to walk in Him. And the more we continue to walk in Him, the more deeply rooted we are in Him. And it just keeps going and going and going. Rooted in Him. The more rooted we are in Him, the more built up we are in Him, as we read here in verse 7. And the more built up we are in Him, the more established we are in Him. And the more established we are, the more we abound. And again, it just keeps going round and round and round. It's a cycle. And these things have to be so if we're going to live this life. The words rooted in Him are also the result. They're a foundation of walking in Him, but they're also the result of walking in Him. Again, it's a past action that continues to take place. Our roots ought to be getting deeper and deeper and deeper, more and more attached to Jesus Christ. So the more we walk in Him, the more deeply rooted we become. Now, living life rooted in Him, what does that mean? Well, it means that rooted in Him is trust. It's clinging to Christ. It's leaning upon Him. It's depending upon Him. It's relying upon Him, cleaving to Jesus Christ. And as we do so, what happens? We experience Him. And then the more we walk in Him, and the more these other things take place as well. So to be rooted in Christ is for Jesus Christ to be a relevant force in everything in our life. Again, He's not just a point of theology. He is a relevant force in our life. To be rooted in Him is to live life drawing from Him, receiving nourishment from Him, drawing from Him in a way and receiving from Him in a way that affects our hearts, that affects our minds, that affects our wills. And you see, this gives us stability against the philosophies and the vain deceits of the world. We receive from Christ in our hearts and our minds and our wills, and our life is strengthened. And it becomes more and more stable. So here we are. We live in a time under the onslaught of the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world. And the philosophy and the vain deceit after the rudiments of the world sweep like a raging river, sweep almost everything in its path. We can see it all around us. The philosophies of man have swept away common sense, decency, morality, and on we can go. But God's people should not be caught in that current. God's people should not be swept away in that. But it takes deep roots. Rooted in Christ. If all you get is stories about Jesus in Sunday school and hearing about Jesus in church, and it never goes further than that, you're not going to make it spiritually in this world. It's not going to happen. And people make the mistake, they'll say, well, they were raised, they know better. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. They heard it, but it doesn't mean that they received it. So it doesn't mean that they have a root system. A root system. A root system to Jesus Christ. So our roots need to run deep in Christ. And the reason that many of God's people are spellbound with the world and the world's pursuits, and the reason they're absorbed in the world, and the reason that they're drawn to the ways and reasonings of the world, is because they have a deficient root system. They're not rooted in Christ. Their roots do not go deep enough. The reason they're more identified with the world than Christ is because, let's be honest, that's where their roots are. That's what they're drawing from. From the world. And the reason they become spiritually lax and indifferent, and the reason they embrace the ways and the ideas and the philosophies of this world, is the roots don't run deep in Christ. And if they are saved, they've been moved away. They've been moved away. So God help us to have a deep root system that affects our hearts and our minds and our wills and our affections. I mean, our root system, of the philosophy, the thinking of man, shouldn't even faze us really as far as what we believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't shake what we believe in Jesus Christ. And circumstances can be a storm. And circumstances do not shake this tree that's rooted in Jesus Christ. So the reason that many who profess Christ are carried about by the circumstances and events of life, they're like tumbleweed. Whatever direction the wind blows, that's the way they go. They can't help themselves. They have no root system. They're not rooted in Christ. So we live in very trying times. We all know that. We live in difficult times. We live in very dangerous and challenging times, pressing and urgent times. And we need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. We live in the midst of hatred and hostility toward God, toward the things of God, toward the people of God, toward the ways of God, toward the church of God. We need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. And those who walk in Him, that's what that life looks like. It's an individual that is embedded in Christ. They're fixed to Jesus Christ. They're established in Christ. And if someone's going to go off, and I'm not going on a chase a rabbit against schools, but there is a warning here. First of all, I'm not going to go there. If an individual is going to go to college or any public institution of learning, they better be rooted in Christ. They won't make it if they're not. They have to have deep roots in Christ. Because their heads are going to be filled with the philosophies and vain deceits of man. And they've got to know this is foolishness. This is foolishness. They have to have a deep root system in Christ. So our life is to reflect that we are rooted in Christ. Then notice the next thing is built. Rooted and built up in Him. So we have downward growth, rooted. We have upward growth, built up in Him. And the built up in Him, again, is passive voice, perfect tense, past and continuous action. It's something that has happened. It's something that is to continue to happen. Rooted and built up in Him. That's our standing. And that standing is to be reflected in our life. Now in the phrase, rooted and built up in Him, he uses two metaphors. A plant and a building. Both speak of Christ as the chief element. Rooted in Him, built up in Him. Both speak of Christ as the foundation. Both have a definite and continued link and connection to Jesus Christ. And if we're going to walk in Him, there has to be a continued connection to Christ. Everything we do has to be connected to Jesus Christ, if we're in Him. Everything. You do not put this part of the world in this box, this over here, and the Lord over here. We have to live connected to Christ. If we go to work, we have to go to work connected to Christ. If we go to school, we go to school connected to Christ. If we go out shopping, we go connected to Christ. If we go out for entertainment or recreation, we do so connected to Christ. Nothing is separate from Christ. That's how we're to live. Rooted and built up in Him. And this is stressed. This connection to Christ is stressed throughout the book of Colossians. We find the words in Christ four times. We find the words in Him five times. We find the words by Him five times. For Him one time. With Christ three times. With Him three times. Of Him one time. That is 22 uses of a preposition concerning ourselves in relation to Christ. 22 times He speaks of a definite connection to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to walk in Him. So, Christ is to be the basis of our life. He's to be the purpose. He's to be the priority. Rooted and built up in Him. It is, our lives are to be anchored to Jesus Christ. Now think of, again, built up. A building being built is an ongoing progress toward completion. We are to be built up in Him. It is an ongoing process, an ongoing progress toward completion. It'll be complete when we're with Him in glory. But we're to be coming more and more and more like Christ every single day. Think of a building being built. Sometimes you look at that building and you may think there's people working, but they haven't done a thing. I don't see where they've done anything. But they're building. You don't always see the progress, but there is progress. And that's how it is in our lives also. Sometimes the progress may be not as obvious as at other times. But there must always be progress. The building is being built toward completion. Now what happens? They begin to build a building. They run out of money. They stop. And what happens? In time, that building becomes an eyesore. We've got them all around. We've got them all around. Buildings that become an eyesore. That can also happen to God's people. They become an eyesore. They start out, but then they stop. And they become an eyesore. And it's very sad. I mean, you drive through a town and you see buildings that have sat and are an eyesore. It's sad. Especially if you've lived around the area long enough and you knew when things were progressing. It's sad to see it go that way. But that's the lives of many people. They're an eyesore. God's people should never want to be an eyesore. Should never, ever want to be an eyesore to this world. But that the world would always see Christ in us. The next verb that he uses is established. There in verse 7, and established. That is fixed, set, in the faith. It carries the idea of being strengthened in the faith as you've been taught. And he presented much of that in chapter 1. So it speaks of becoming stronger in faith. How do we become stronger in the faith? Now, it's two separate things here. Strengthened in the faith as ye have been taught. So just the teaching does not, the teaching by itself does not strengthen us. It's strengthened in the faith as ye have been taught. So, how is it that we become stronger and stronger in the truth? Walking in Him. Rooted in Him. Built up in Him. I really believe that we ought to be stronger and stronger and stronger every day in faith. The more that we live the life of rooted and built up in Him, the more we walk in Him, and the more established in faith we become. And then notice the last thing, abounding. Abounding therein. It means flourishing therein. Therein being the faith or the truth. With. The word with indicates the manner of doing so. With thanksgiving. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. Those who walk in Him, those who are rooted in Him, those who are being built up in Him, those who are strengthened, they will abound with thanksgiving. They are thankful people. They are thankful people. The more that we live the life of rooted and built up in Him, the more established in the faith we become. The more we progress spiritually, the more we give thanks to the Lord. The more grateful to God we are. So that answers the question, why aren't people grateful? Well, right there. They don't walk in Him. They're not rooted in Him. They're not built up in Him. They're not established. Because if you're all those things, you'll be thankful. So what a life is ours to live. And it all goes back to verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You cannot live this life without receiving Christ. And every time we open God's Word, every time we come into the house of God, every time we sit under the sound of God's Word, it ought to be our prayer. Lord, cause me to receive into my heart, into my being. Cause me to receive it. Because the more we receive, the deeper our roots go. And the higher that building goes, and the more established we become. And the more we abound with thanksgiving. So our lives ought to be lives of spiritual progress. Don't make the mistake, whether it be your own life or someone else's, of using a wrong standard of measurement to determine spiritual growth. People have some pretty insane ways to measure spirituality. There's really only one way, and that's Christ. He's the measuring stick. Are we becoming more and more like Christ? And you know what? The deeper we're rooted in Christ, the less we have to do with this world. And the more we feel like a stranger to this world. Deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. God help us to live the life of walking in Him. That Jesus Christ would be the element in which we live. There's no better life on this earth than the life that is presented here in verse 6 and 7. It's presented all through the Word of God. It's a life we're responsible to live. And it's a life that we can live. And for all those who say, well, but it's just so hard. It really isn't. If you continue to do it, it gets easier. It really does. I believe that. It gets easier. I don't have as much trouble now separating from the world than I did 20 years ago. So to me, it's a lot easier. It gets easier. It shouldn't be becoming more difficult. It's easier. If it becomes more difficult, your roots are going the wrong direction. And that's the problem. People can become very rooted in this world. And that's why we need to always be aware. Is this going to cause me to be more connected to this world? Because if so, you're going to serve the Lord less. You're going to serve the Lord less. We have to be less and less connected to the world. More and more connected to Jesus Christ. And you won't lose a thing. You won't lose one thing. You'll be blessed living your life in Him. God help us to live that life. Pray for one another that we would live that life. Encourage one another to live that life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.